Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, Text 21. Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj. Ayaso panchayam jantos. Ayaso panchayam jantos. Tataivo Pachayam Vibhu Ubaibhyam Rahita Svasto Dustasya Vidati Yaso Yaso Pachayam Jantos Tataibo Pachayam Vibhu Ubhabhyam rahita svasto Dustasya vidadatyaso Ayuso pachayam jantos Tataivo pachayam vibhu Ubhabhyam rahita svasto Dustasya vidadatyasau. Ayusau, of duration of life. Apachayam, diminution. Janto, of the living entities. Tata, similarly. Eva, also. Upachayam, increase. Vibhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ubhabhyam, from both of them. Rahita, free. Svasta, always situated in his transcendental position. Dustasya, of the living entities under the laws of karma. Vidatati, awards. Asau, he. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is all-powerful, and he awards the results of one's fruitive activities. Thus, although one living entity's duration of life is very small, whereas that of another is very great, he is always in his transcendental position, and there is no question of lessening or increasing his duration of life. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Both the mosquito and Lord Brahma are living entities in the material world. Both are minute sparks and are part of the Supreme Lord. The very short duration of life, short duration of the life of the mosquito and the very long lifetime of Lord Brahma are both awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the results of their karma. But in the Brahma Samhita, we find it said, Karmani Nirdahati, the Lord diminishes or vanquishes the reactions of his devotees. The same fact is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Gyagyartai karmanom yatra. One should perform karma only for the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, one is bound by the action and reaction of karma. Under the law of karma, a living entity wanders within the universe under the rule of eternal time. Sometimes he becomes a mosquito, and sometimes Lord Brahma. To a sane man, this business is not very fruitful. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 25, gives a warning to the living entities, Yanti Deva Vata Devan. Those who are addicted to the worship of the demigods go to the planets of the demigods. Those who are addicted to the worship of the Pitas, forefathers, go to the Pitas. Those who are inclined to material activities remain in the material sphere. But persons who engage in devotional service reach the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where there is neither birth nor death, nor different varieties of life under the influence of the law of karma. The best interest of the living entity is to engage himself in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur advised, quote, "My dear friend, you are being washed away in material waves of time. Please try to understand that you are the eternal servant of the Lord. Then everything will stop and you will be eternally happy." Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is all-powerful, and he awards the results of one's fruitive activities. Thus, although one living entity's duration of life is very small, whereas that of another is very great, he is always in his transcendental position. There is no question of lessening or increasing his duration of life. Omaginatumadandasya kinanjana salakaya chakshulan militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapatandikam pancha kalpa tirubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya sri krishna chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada, the verse was very wonderful, and Srila Prabhupada gives a very, as usual, every word in his purport is filled with so much meaning. And at the end here, he repeats the words of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Try to understand, you're the eternal servant of the Lord. And everything will stop and you'll be eternally happy. So from this, I was thinking how much our process is that of serving the Vaishnavas and repeating the words of the Vaishnavas. And the devotees, we say the pure devotees, to serve the pure devotees. So there was one little passage I have here in this book here, What is the Difficulty, I wanted to read. It's one of my favorite letters from Srila Prabhupada. There are many wonderful letters, and this is definitely one of the sweetest, I think. And Prabhupada's answering one of his disciples. Time he was sannyasi, Tushita Krishna, and he asks him a series of questions, and some of them are very pointed questions, let's say, very philosophical nature, and some could appear even to have an agenda to them. But he asks them in a particular fashion. But as what I like is so many things we see with Srila Prabhupada, because he answers them exactly as they're asked, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He doesn't put, this is the most important question, so he answers that first, this one next. Just in the very order they're asked, he answers. And class is short, so we don't have a lot of time, but I'll read what I consider to be very pertinent. And he says, your next question, after leaving this material realm, does the devotee remain forever with his spiritual master? This is a very beautiful question. Prabhupada says the answer is yes. But I think you have a mistaken idea in this connection. He said, you speak of pure devotee, that he's a Shaktivesh avatar, that we should obey him only. These things are wrong ideas. He said, if anyone thinks like that a pure devotee should be obeyed and no one else, that means he's a nonsense. We advise everyone to address one another as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. So how the master should be disobeyed? Others, they're also pure devotees. So listen, he's saying not just I'm a pure devotee and not just who you decide is pure devotee. He says others are pure devotees. All of my disciples are pure devotees. Anyone sincerely serving the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It may be Siddhaswarup, who was the favorite of this devotee, or others, Asiddhaswarup, so not Siddhaswarup. This may be very clearly stated. So he's making this very clear. This is not just a letter to one devotee. He said this should be clearly stated. It is not only that your Siddhaswarup is a pure devotee and not others. Do not try to make a faction. This is a very important point here. We're not interested in factions. Now this is 1972. This is not 1982 or 92, 2002. This was 1972. This was just 6 years after Srila Prabhupada started this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So already factions are there. Sometimes devotees think, oh, you were so fortunate. Prabhupada was here, everything, you knew exactly what was going on, how to do your service, so many wonderful things. But here Prabhupada's saying, don't try to make a faction. So why is he saying that? Because there was a faction. One time Prabhupada said, there's no question of faction. He said, there's service to the spiritual master. That's it. There's no factions. You're either serving him, his instructions, or you're not. So if you're not, then you're useless. Useless, not disciple. So this is Krishna consciousness. He said, Siddhaswarup is a good soul, but others should not be misled. Anyone who is surrendered to the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It doesn't matter Siddhaswarup or non-Siddhaswarup. Amongst ourselves, one should respect others as Prabhu, master, amongst ourselves. As soon as we distinguish, as soon, that means immediately, as soon as we distinguish, here's a pure devotee, and here's a non-pure devotee. That means I am a nonsense. Why you only want to be in the spiritual sky with Siddhaswarup? Why not all? If Siddhaswarup can go, why not everyone? Siddhaswarup will go. You will go, talking to Tushna Krishna. Syamasundar will go. All others will go. We will have another ISKCON there. So those of you who don't care for ISKCON, you're going to have difficulties because we're going to have another ISKCON in the spiritual world with Srila Prabhupada. So if you want to be with Srila Prabhupada, you're going to have to learn how to get along with all these other pure devotees that are before you. And you're going to have to learn how to serve the Prabhus. So many masters we have. Everyone master. So we have to learn how to serve all these masters. And this is how you get to go back to the spiritual world. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur says here. Try to understand your eternal servant of the Lord. So what's that mean? Dasu, das, anu, das. This morning one of my Prabhus, he's listening on the radio, as hopefully a few others are. Someday I'll be able to give class from home on the radio in a nice, warm, cozy apartment. So, till then, we're here in the chilly temple room. So many are back at home. But my godbrother, Boo, Bhubaneshwar, before Radha Shyama Sundar this morning, he told me, He said that you can't perform devotional service, this was during Mangal Arati, he said, without the blessings of Srimati Radharani. He said, you can't serve Krishna without Srimati Radharani's, her blessings. So I said, well, how do I get them? And he said, well, you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Huh? Mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the mercy of Lord Nityananda. I said, well, how do I get that? And he said, well, you have to get the mercy of Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis. I said, okay, well, how do I get that? He said, you have to serve the pure devotee. So what does that mean? That's true, huh? So immediately we think, okay, we have to serve Srila Prabhupada, which is true. But it's very easy. How do we serve Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada answers here, there's so many pure devotees, they're sitting here before you. This is what a devotee sees. Everyone else is pure devotee. Me, I'm very fallen. But all these others are pure devotees. Huh? So we serve them. We make progress in Krishna consciousness. That is a very simple process. So he says that we will have another ISKCON there. Of course, there's one person who doesn't get to go back to the spiritual world in our ISKCON society. So everyone knows who that is, right? Mr. Nair, yes. A famous person, or infamous person in Srila Prabhupada's, in the course of his devotional service, Mr. Nair. So Prabhupada gave him great benediction never to be part of our ISKCON society. And he says, and if somebody does not go, then I shall have to come back to take him there. This is pure devotee. This is Srila Prabhupada. One should remember this, and every one of my disciples should act in such a way that he may go with me, and I may not have to come back to take another birth. As for your next question, can only a few pure devotees deliver others? And there's another next question, just answering them as they come. Anyone, if he is a pure devotee, he can deliver others, he can become spiritual master. But unless he is on that platform, he should not attempt it. Then both of them, they will go to hell, like the blind men leading the blind. So, this is a very amazing letter. And Prabhupada says every word, as he does in his purports. He said every word, Krishna is there. Every word in this letter is so valuable. So we have some time left, so I figured my duty also is to serve so many Prabhus here, and I've had, since I've been here for the last 2 months or so, so many devotees that have helped me so much, rendered some service, and they've made some requests to me in speaking. So today we're going to try to honor some of those requests, because that's my service to them, and by performing some service then I can get some mercy from the pure devotees. So one of them has been asking me for some time to tell one story, and we call this the story of the Brahmin thread. And this story takes place over a course, actually with Srila Prabhupada, over a course of 30 years, which is amazing enough, because it ends in 2005, which was 27 years after Srila Prabhupada left. He's still put a finishing touch on this story. And it's an important story also in trying to understand this process of devotional service, because in the service of the pure devotees, there's something we have to learn how to do, and that's honesty. Honesty in the practice of devotional service, not just a show of devotional service, which is not a difficult thing to do, actually, to make a show and to try to trick. As Prabhupada said, don't try to trick the spiritual master. So this story is about his disciple just being a little dishonest, just a little bit, and trying to use a little trickery in his devotional service to his spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada, in his merciful way, he always corrects. And when he would see that, he's there personally. Prabhupada said on this day, December 4th, back in 1974, in a lecture in Juhu, Prabhupada said that Krishna comes in the form of the Murti just to talk to you. He said, Krishna can talk to you. You can talk to Krishna personally. He said, in the form of the Murti, he said, he's here. He descends. He said, and you can take his darshan. He becomes visible to you. He said, but you have to qualify yourself. And you have to perform devotional service and make yourself ready. He uses these words. You have to make yourself ready. And in that state, Krishna will have a conversation with you. It's not just that you stand here and you're looking and nothing can happen. But actually Krishna in his deity form, he will talk to you. But we have to become qualified to have these conversations. So what a wonderful thing. So of course we can understand from this Prabhupada's position. In order to say this, Prabhupada understood. So I can only repeat, as Prabhupada said so many years ago, because although I would really appreciate it, Krishna has not talked to me in this form yet. I keep hoping someday he'll talk to me. But he's talking to me through Srila Prabhupada. So this story I'll try to tell briefly. It began in 1972. I received Brahmin initiation in Los Angeles, California, personally from Srila Prabhupada's hands. And he would put the Brahmin thread over your shoulder and he would show you how to count on your fingers. And then he would say, do you understand? And of course, we would always go. And then he'd say, show me. And then you'd go, and you would try, and he'd go, no, like this. And he'd show you again how to count. Because you would be so nervous in front of him, you couldn't do anything. So then he gave it to you, and then he whispered into your ear the Gayatri Mantra. So I went back to New Vrindavan, and now that I had a Brahmin thread, I was so-called Brahmana, I was immediately put into the kitchen by Kirtanananda and started cooking from early morning to evening, all the offerings. And I would make the offerings to the deities, their Mangal sweets, their milk sweets in the morning. So one morning, I went down there at 4 o'clock in the morning and I bent down and I offered obeisances, said the prayers, and then I sat up and very carefully sat and went to grab my Brahmin thread, and it wasn't there. It was gone. It disappeared. So it was all I could think was, we used to bathe outside in New Vrindavan. New Vrindavan was very, very austere back in those days. So in the dark moon, one early morning around 3 o'clock before going into the kitchen, I guess I just threw a bucket of water over my head and stood up, and I don't know what happened to my thread. So of course, I understood that that meant I was no longer a Brahmin, that it was a very bad sign. So I felt horrible, and I told Kirtanananda, and I was crying, I was 19 years old, that I had lost my thread. So he manipulated me and told me I was very sincere, the proof was in my tears, and that I was still a Brahmin, and he made me a thread. So then I went back and continued my service. So that was in May of 1972. So 6 months later, I was Prabhupada's servant, personal servant. And I was here at Radha Damodar Temple with Srila Prabhupada. And in the time I was with him, some 30 months, I gave away dozens of Brahmin threads to different devotees. Prabhupada would take them off. On an ekadasi, you would give him a new Brahmin thread. He would chant on both of them. And then he would put the one right on his desk. And I would take it and I would give it to a devotee, Mahaprasadam. So this time, while I was there during Kartik with Prabhupada, I had a great plan, because I still felt bad that this Brahman thread, I had broken my connection because I lost the Brahman thread that Prabhupada gave me. I never properly transferred it from one thread to the next. So I never asked or told Prabhupada my anxiety or asked him to help me or anything, but I just thought, today when Prabhupada chants on both threads, I'll take the old one, because he always just put it on the table, and that was it, never said anything. So I was sitting on the veranda between his kitchen and his sitting room, and I was watching him after bath as he put on his tilak, and he would sit up, you know, always sat so straight, and he put the thread, the new thread, around, and he chanted. And I was sitting on the veranda chanting japa, just waiting to finally get reconnected to my brahminical status of truthfulness. So Prabhupada chanted, and he got up, and he walked to the kitchen to take prasadam. Jamuna was cooking. So as he walked by, I offered obeisances and watched his lotus feet go into the kitchen. And I waited until the door closed, because I was being tricky. And as soon as the door closed and I couldn't see him anymore, I ran into his room and I grabbed the Brahman thread. And I went back outside and I sat down on the veranda. I had no shirt on, and I put the Brahman thread on, and when I put it on, Prabhupada had broken every thread on this Brahman thread. He just broke it. And he never did that. You know, like dozens of times he took off a Brahman thread, he never pulled it apart. But this one time he did, because he already knew what I was doing, even though I never said anything. He already knew. So he pulled everyone apart. So I sat there and I looked, and I started tying little knots in all the threads, six knots, six threads. Thought it's still Prabhupada's Brahman thread. So I put it on and I chanted very happily, and I felt, now I'm got my Brahminical status back. So then I'm sitting there chanting japa, very happy that I have Prabhupada's Brahman thread. So then he finished prasadam and he walks out of the room, he walks across the veranda, and as he approaches me, I offer obeisances. And I offer obeisances, and I have my head down, but I can see his feet, his lotus feet right in front of me. He stopped. So I'm offering obeisances, and I get a little slower, and he's standing there. So then I just sit up, and he looks at me, and he said, "So the Brahman thread." I said, "Yes, Prabhupada." He said, "You can bury it under the tulsi plant." And I said, "Okay." And then he just walked into the room. So he knew everything I had done. So of course, I already was so determined that I didn't bury it under, I didn't listen to him, I didn't follow his instruction. I just wanted that Brahman thread so bad. I didn't even understand what a Brahman was. I mean, obviously I was cheating, I was lying, I was tricking my spirits, trying to trick him, although it's not possible. You can try to trick your spiritual master in Krishna, but you can't trick them. You may be able to trick others for some time, but you can't trick Krishna. Krishna is the trickster. He can trick you. You can't trick him. So that was in 1972. So I didn't know anything until 2005 was the first time I went to Mayapur festival since I was Prabhupada's servant in 1975. So it 30 years had lapsed in my going to Mayapur Dham. So now I'm in Mayapur in 2005, and I was sitting like many in the pandal one evening, listening to devotees tell Prabhupada katha. So I'm sitting there, and this devotee is looking at me from the side, and we're all spraying mosquito repellent on us because Prabhupada mentions mosquitoes here. Prabhupada had a relationship with mosquitoes, but we don't have time to discuss that now. He didn't like them, to say the least. So this devotee is like 10 seats away, and none of the seats are occupied in the first row. And he looks at me, keeps looking, and he's going. So finally I went and sat down, and he says, "Do you know who I am?" And I'm like, you know, I didn't remember, you know. And I'm looking, and I said, "From Mayapur?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm Padmalochan." He said, "Your godbrother, Padmalochan." I said, "I thought I recognized you." So 30 years had gone by since I had seen him in 1975 in Mayapur. So he said, "Do you remember?" He said, "You were here." He said, "In 1975. He said, "Right, you were Prabhupada's servant." I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you remember what happened?" And I'm going, "Well, some things." I said, "I remember." He said, I got Brahmin initiation in 1975. He said, and he kept saying, "Do you remember?" And I'm going, you know, "No, I don't remember," I said. And he said, "Well, of course he remembered, because that's when Prabhupada gave him Brahmin initiation." He said, "Well, you were Prabhupada's servant then." I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you don't remember?" And I'm going, "No." I said, "Why?" He said, "You sat outside Prabhupada's room." And I'm going, "Okay, yes." And he said, "We would all go in one at a time." He said, "And you would give us the Brahmin threads." And I'm going, "Okay." I still don't remember. And he said, "Do you remember?" So I'm like, "Yeah, I remember." Now I'm just to make him happy, I'm remembering now. I'm saying, "Yeah, I remember that, yes." He said, "You gave me the Brahmin thread." I said, "Yes." He said, "But you didn't take it apart." He said, "You just handed it to me." He said, "It was all folded up." I said, "Yes." So then he said, "Well, then I went into Prabhupada's room." He said, and of course I was very nervous. He said, "I offered obeisances and I got up," and Srila Prabhupada said, "Sit down." And Prabhupada said, "Open the thread so I can put it around your neck." He said, "So I went to take the thread apart." And you all you Brahmins, you know what these threads are like. You have to be very careful taking them apart. He said, "So I was so nervous." He said, "I tried to get it apart and it just got tangled." He said, and immediately Prabhupada looked and he said, "Take it to Shrutakirti, he knows what to do." So he said, "I got up," he said, "and I was headed out the door." He said, and the secretary walked in. He said, "So I just thought, he can help me." He said, "So I handed it, you know, tried to hand it to the secretary," and Prabhupada shouted. He said, "Bring it to Shrutakirti, he knows what to do." So then he came out and he said, "Shrutakirti, Prabhupada told me to give this to you to fix it for me." Of course, I don't remember any of this. So he said, "You looked at it," he said, "and you grabbed the two ends and you put your finger through it," he said, "and you went," he said, "and you handed it back to me." He said, "So I walked inside, Prabhupada put it around my neck," he said, "he chanted the mantra into my ear," he said, "and it was finished." So he told me that in 2005. So that was 30 years after it happened. But the beauty of it was so many things. First thing was, I saw that Prabhupada's right here. It's not that he had gone anywhere. Prabhupada hadn't left. So he came here, and 30 years later, which was the first time I saw this devotee after all this incidents in 1975, he told me this story. So of course, it took me that long to understand that Prabhupada knew everything all along. He knew in 1972 what I was doing, obviously, when he told me, "Take it, bury it under the Tulsi plant." You know, even though everyone was always taking Prabhupada's Mahaprasadam, he broke it apart. He told me what to do with it, because he knew I wasn't doing any of those things. I was just being dishonest. I was trying to trick him. So he just wanted me to be honest, which always he did that with me. He would always make me tell the truth. if I was able to. He would always try to bring the truth out of me in Krishna consciousness. So because I didn't do it in 1972, in 1975 he gave me a reminder by sending this devotee out saying, Prabhupada said, you know what to do, you know how to repair Brahmin threads, because he knew I was very expert at taking them, tying them in knots, doing whatever I needed to do. So he sent, you know, he told him to bypass the secretary because Prabhupada gave him an instruction. He said, bring it to Shruti Kirti. So he also wanted him to understand, you follow my instructions. You don't circumvent an instruction from the spiritual master. Think, well, now I can do this. Something, someone else has come along the way, so I'll take his instructions. No, we take instructions according to the spiritual master's desires. But he wanted him to come to me 3 years later so that I could understand again that we should not try to trick the spiritual master. Of course, Prabhupada also had a wonderful sense of humor. And although I had no idea what happened 3 years ago, he did. Prabhupada never forgot. Yeah? So he was giving me a little needling, we would say, a little nudge. And with his sense of humor, again, he was trying to show me how to understand performing devotional service in Krishna consciousness. If you want Krishna to speak to you, you have to become honest in Krishna consciousness. We can't be on this duplicitic platform, duplicity. We have to become honest in our Krishna consciousness, honest in devotional service. You know, again, everyone may think you're performing devotional service, but we also understand whether we're performing devotional service or whether we're after something else, which Krishna will give you. But if you want Krishna, you want to see Krishna, you want to have his darshan, you want to speak to him and have him answer you, then we have to drop all of this nonsense, as Prabhupada said, all this nonsense ideas, I'm a devotee, this person, he's okay, this one, not so okay. All these things we have to throw out. We have to see everyone as pure devotee, just as Prabhupada did. He saw everyone rendering devotional service. That his spiritual master, he would try to help us within that devotional service. He would correct us, even if it took 30 years, and if it takes 300 years, he's always trying to lift us up. This is what a devotee does. He tries to lift everyone up. Not that he tries to climb on top of others in his execution of so-called devotional service. He tries to help everyone. And by helping others, that's how you become devotee, by serving others. Not by getting others to serve you. That's not what a Prabhu is master. So 3 years later, I didn't get it. So the next time I saw the devotee, again he told me, and as all I saw was Prabhupada telling me again the same wonderful incident, the same story, the same process of what it means to perform devotional service, because until you get it, you'll just keep trying. Like he says here, don't make me come back, because he'll also do that, he'll come back to bring us to the spiritual world, to his ISKCON society in the spiritual world, where all of his pure devotees will be, everyone. So they're all, they're right, they're in front of you, they're behind you, they're next to you. You have to see them, pure devotees of Krishna. Not this one's more, this one's less. I'm this generation, he's that generation. Calling everyone Prabhus. This is the way we can make progress. Because this way we learn how to become humble. And it's only through humility that you're able to have Krishna speak to you. How can Krishna speak to you if you don't have humility? What's he going to say? He's the Supreme Personality of God. As it says here, try to understand you're the eternal servant of the Lord. Now this is the message from Srimati Radharani, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the six Goswamis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they're all saying the same thing. No one changes anything. The message is very simple, it's very clear. The process of Krishna consciousness is a very simple process. We just have to serve the pure devotees. So they're everywhere, they're all around you. And it's not difficult to perform devotional service. So we have, in that way too, supposed to end at 9 o'clock, so are there any questions or comments? Hopefully there's some clarity there. There was another stories I was going to tell, but we'll save that for next time, next class. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Fortunately, he doesn't have a microphone, so Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is there a microphone here for questions? Yeah, it's a very wonderful letter. And ISKCON is there. It's always with us. It's here. We're already in the spiritual world here in Vrindavan. Huh? And when we go back home, back to Godhead, ISKCON will be there with Srila Prabhupada as well. So actually very fortunate situation.
Hare Krishna. Can you tell us the story of Mr. Nair?
not in a few minutes. No, that will... I give Bhagavad Gita class tomorrow night. Maybe somehow or other I can work it into the shloka and purport. If I don't, I'll still tell it. It's not a problem. So everything's just connected to Srila Prabhupada. Every word we read in the Shastra, we can easily connect to the process of devotional service. So I'll do that tomorrow evening, Bhagavad Gita class. But yeah, that's kind of a long, involved, and very sweet and amazing story about Srila Prabhupada's determination in serving Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari. It's a very beautiful story. And it shows determination, what determination is really like for a devotee, because it took place over the course of many years. And it's a very wonderful story. Hare Krishna. Saranga Prabhu. Hey, wait one second.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So we were and always that thing, the developing in Krishna consciousness, the key point is that to serve other Vaishnavas as a thing that he is the greater than me. But as soon as we got service from our higher authority, we saying so many excuses, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to go there. So actually, what is this easy way to developing this test to serve to others as a thinking is better than me?
What's the easy?
So many things we are.
So many things. See, everyone, of course, is to understand the realization that is my position. It's not an artificial position. It's real position. Is when we're devotee, we understand we're devotee. We do understand I'm servant of the servant of the servant of all the devotees. It's not make-believe. It's a fact. I mean, in, you know, this is what I was able to experience with Srila Prabhupada. You know, he was founder acharya of this society, and he made, on the one hand, he made it very sure that we understood his position, so that we didn't commit offenses, so that we could render service nicely without offense to him. And if we ever diminished his position, he would immediately, in a very strong way, correct it. If they would sometimes put his name, you see it happens, it goes on and on, you know, sometimes they'll put this A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami on some, at the bottom of something without putting Founder Acharya International Society for Krishna Consciousness. They did these things when he was here, when they had the big BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And that's all it said, this big sign on Venice Boulevard. And everybody, they were showing Prabhupada so proudly how they had moved the press from New York to Los Angeles, how they had this beautiful building. He said, "Where's my name?" So whose building was it? Who were they thinking it belonged to? See, everything belongs to Srila Prabhupada. So that's the first step within our society, is to understand that everything is flowing through Srila Prabhupada, because he's that branch. I talked about the branch, ISKCON branch of the Sampradaya. So everything that comes in this society from now and forever, as long as it goes on, it's coming through him. So that was the thing that he always pushed, that we would try to understand. Even in his presence, we become attached and we think, I'm temple president, I'm this, I'm that. And they would even diminish his position while he was here. What to speak of now? What's our position now? How difficult is it without being constantly reminded of where everything is coming from? If you're dressing the deities, whatever you're doing, you know, we're selling books here, if we're outside, whatever our engagement is, if we don't understand we're serving him, what to speak of serving of becoming servant of the servant? Just to recognize that we're serving Srila Prabhupada in this society is, can be very easily overlooked, unfortunately. But the other thing that we saw with Srila Prabhupada was he had that attitude. He was serving, like he called us his children. You know, he said, "I now have so many children, 5,000 children, you know, I became sannyas." He said, "But I'm their servants." First time he gave initiation to his disciples in his lecture, you could hear him say that he was giving them all to his spiritual master. He was offering them all to his spiritual master. Not that they're serving me, they're serving you. And he said that was his business, was he was trying to get you to serve, to help spread Krishna consciousness to his spiritual master. And he was assisting. So he was seeing himself as being servant on another level. One level he had to instruct us. So this also, just like in management, you may have a service where you have to tell others or request others to do particular things. But that doesn't mean you're their master. You're their servant. You're trying to facilitate them in devotional service. That's the whole idea of cooperation. He said we should cooperate. But sometimes people in authoritative positions, they think, cooperate with me because I'm the authority, which means surrender to me. I tell you what to do and you do it. But cooperate means to understand very clearly what someone, what ability they have in devotional service. Very important responsibility, to be, to be an authority, to be a manager with devotees. Because that means you're given the facility by Krishna to help engage others in service. So you really have to pray to understand how this person can serve Krishna. How can I serve them so that they can make advancement in Krishna consciousness, what their propensities are, you know, and so many things. It requires expert person. So Prabhupada was like that, like I said, he would ring his bell. Imagine, his spiritual master, he'd ring his bell and you'd fly in, bang, down on the floor every time, thousands and thousands of times. But when you would sit up, he would look at you. Not like he was this big, big authority. He would look at you with compassion, with love, and say, can you give me massage now? You know how confusing that was for me when he would do that? And I'd say, I'm sitting in this room, Prabhupada. I would say sometimes, I'm just sitting in there, just waiting for you to ring the bell to do some service. But he would request that I give him massage. That's what I did. I said, I'm waiting to do that. But he said it with such beauty, such elegance, you know, so graceful, with the attitude of, like he was servant. He wasn't master. He was a servant. And he was asking me, could I do it? And this is how love develops. You know, everything comes from that, from the attitude, from proper service attitude. Then others will actually develop attraction. We naturally want to serve. That's all we ever do is serve. It's our natural position. And when we do it, you get a taste. So we have to help each other for that taste to become very sweet, a very sweet taste. But that requires, like you say, how do we do? It's natural to understand. So we can only chant Hare Krishna and pray, always pray to develop a service attitude. We pray for everything. We're always praying, devotees. We always have to pray and beg Krishna, beg the spiritual master to, despite all my faults, all my bad qualities, somehow let me understand that I'm your eternal servant. That's how you do it. And then you do it, you serve, and you just keep serving. As he said, service is love. That's how we show love, through service. Not just talk. Boo told me that this morning. He said you have to talk the talk, and then you can walk the walk. So that's it. We have to hear from others. We have to understand. We hear from authorities, and we serve them. So, I guess we should stop here. I'll ask my authorities, I guess we should stop here now. And Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees.